Hamas exchange more captives. Israel says 10 of its citizens and two Thai nationals were freed by Hamas, and soon after, Israel released 30 Palestinian prisoners. CBS's Lilia Luciano in Tel Aviv.
Nine women, most elderly, a teen, and two Thai citizens, walked from the hands of Hamas to freedom on the fifth day of the temporary truce. Meir Avtal, dragged from her home in Kibbutz Neir Oz, was released. Her partner, Yair, was not. And 17-year-old Mia Lemberg was held and released with her dog, Bella.
Today marked the second of 3 days of memorials for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who died last week at the age of 96. Her husband, Jimmy Carter, attended a ceremony at Atlanta's Glenn Memorial Church, along with the Bidens, the Clintons, and former First Ladies Bush, Obama, and Trump. CBS's Mark Strassman was there.
Inseparable once again. Rosalynn Carter and her husband, Jimmy Carter, the 39th president, a frail 99, draped in a blanket embroidered with their images.
My mother, Rosalynn Carter, was the most beautiful woman I've ever met and pretty to look at, too.
A Republican-led House committee wants Hunter Biden to testify behind closed doors about his business dealings and other issues. Hunter Biden says he will testify, but wants to do so in public. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
House Republicans should really focus on American families instead of the president's family.
Billionaire investor Charlie Munger, an opponent of taxes on the wealthiest Americans, and Warren Buffett's partner at Berkshire Hathaway, has passed away at the age of 99. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Although Warren Buffett is often seen to be the face of Berkshire Hathaway, Charlie Munger was an equal and important partner to Buffett. Buffett's nickname for Munger was the Abominable No Man because he loved to reject potential investments.
CBS's Stacey Lynn with a challenging national Christmas tree setup.
It looked like the national Christmas tree got lit before it was officially lit. A big wind gust knocked it over just days before the official lighting ceremony. Crews used a crane to lift the tree and get it upright again. The 40-foot Norway spruce from West Virginia already had its share of tree problems. When it arrived in D.C. earlier this month, it was just placed in the park instead of being planted, which is the norm. They decided to break tradition after last year's tree got hit with a fungal disease and had to be removed. Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. As expected, this year's gun deer harvest in Wisconsin was lower than last year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the number of deer registered was more than 17% lower than last year and about 11% lower than the five-year average. Wardens say it's evidence that earlier bow seasons are getting more popular.
Over half of our total deer hunting population in Wisconsin now also hunts with archery equipment, whether that be bow or crossbow.
Jeff Pritzel is the DNR's deer specialist. People who heat their homes with natural gas might be looking at lower bills this winter. The U.S. Energy Information Administration says it expects a 21% drop in natural gas home heating costs this coming season. Madison-based Alliant Energy says it's because of large natural gas reserves. Also, winter in Wisconsin is forecasted to be mild. I'm Nate Wegehoe, Civic Media News.
The Packers getting some players back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers say that some of their players are coming off the injury list and could be ready to play when they host the Chiefs Sunday night. Defensive back Eric Stokes was injured on a special teams play in Denver. He was back at practice. Rookie receiver Dontavian Wicks has cleared the concussion protocol. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Heat tonight in Miami. The Bucks 12-5 so far for the season. College hoops, Wisconsin with a win last night at the Kohl Center, 71-49 over Western Illinois. Greg Gard said that Western Illinois played tough on defense.
We could not get into a rhythm, and that's what all the switching and the gumming up, it just makes it ugly, you know, because they're switching on everything. And so then it gets you to stand a little bit and not cut as hard as you should or screen well, so that we needed to come out of the gate better. We were able to make some shots and get some stops there and finish it out.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 16 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, highs around 38. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night, 27. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
And we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at TheRickSmithShow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class. Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to. Lots to talk about. The Twitters today had Westboro Baptist Church trending. And I'm like, you know, nothing good ever comes out of Westboro Baptist Church trending in any way, shape, or form. So immediately I know without even looking that there have got to be some idiots out protesting a funeral. Because if you remember Fred Phelps and his band of lunatics, anytime there was a funeral of someone in the LGBTQ community, they showed up with their signs. And you've seen all of it. I don't want to go through the insanity of that. And so today this was trending, and I'm going, please tell me they didn't dig Fred Phelps back up to drag him to something else. Well, no, they didn't. There was a pro-Palestinian protest demonstrating outside the memorial service for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. And you go, why? Why would you protest out in front of this woman's funeral? Why would you do this to the Carters? Understand, this is someone who has been the peace guy. This is someone who supported the two-state solution for decades. This is not the guy you protest and his wife. You just don't do that. And it shows the idiocy of some of these people. And it shows, again, this, what did you gain from that? Other than you getting people like me who have kind of stayed out of this issue going, what is wrong with you? And it shows the coarseness of where we are. And look, it didn't get an awful lot of attention anywhere else other than the Twitter sphere. And I think most of it was negative, going, hey, stupid, this is not the place. But it goes to show that there's either we have lost our ever-loving flippin' minds, or there's some money behind this. No decent person would do that. Look, I get the passions, I get that, but not the place. Not the place. Also today, the thing that did get the news, and this is another thing that have we lost our minds? Is no one paying attention? Evidently, Hunter Biden has said that he would be happy to come and testify before the House Oversight Committee, James Comer and his attack group, but it's going to have to be an open hearing. No behind closed doors, no smoke-filled rooms, none of that stuff. Comer losing his mind, going, no, you're going to have to, we'll see you behind closed doors. And what I find interesting is not that, look, that Comer and Republicans don't want Hunter Biden's words public
and that they want to go and be able to misrepresent anything that happens behind the closed door. Because, hey, who's behind closed doors? Who's to say what was actually said? Who's to say what really happened other than these people who have been known to, misrepresent things? Lie? Maybe you remember the last bits? And this comes at an interesting time because you've got Hunter Biden and James Biden going, look, we'll testify, but you're not going to twist our words. You're not going to do what you do. Not going to do it. Now, Comer says he expects Hunter Biden to be there on the 13th for a closed door meeting. And, as I'm reading through this, I went, okay, I'll go behind closed doors when Scott, pardon me, Perry, and Jim Jordan honor their subpoenas to testify, to be deposed behind closed doors. Okay, we'll trade that. Now, we know Scott, pardon me, Perry, and Jim Jordan, they will not. And this is the hypocrisy of this. This is how just crazy this is bad. For months you've had these Republicans, Comer in particular, whining and complaining, they're not honoring subpoenas. And they've been making up all kinds of conspiracy theories that they have no proof over. None. But hey, they get to just keep throwing it out there. So Hunter Biden's like, I want to clear my name. So what did our right-wing media do today? And this, look, I understand Comer wanting to hide behind the smoke-filled backroom door and be able to make stuff up. I get that. Because this is nothing but a witch hunt in epic proportions. This is nothing but, hey, we got somebody who did something wrong. Let's pin everything on him. What I found interesting is as I was watching the F channel and the O channel and the Max channel and all of the crazy right-wing stuff, they were all defending Comer saying this has to be behind closed doors. They were actually going, yes, we want the hearing behind closed doors. I'm going, who in media has ever said that? And it made me wonder who's writing the right-wing script right now, because all of them were on board. I did not find one right-wing commentator, tells you how in line they are, who said, no, nonsense. I want this in public. I want to see with my own two eyes that guy squirm in the seat. I want to hear his words. I want to see Jim Jordan tear him apart. I didn't hear see one person say that. And that's the, now I'm not saying no one did, but he's been quashed somewhere. But for me, it doesn't matter who. I want to see this stuff. That's the reason of having hearings, so that we the people can make the choice. But again, I come back to a lot of this stuff is all, it's all bread and circus. It's all American Idol and Cheetos, however you want to frame that. It's all entertainment. And it's all outrage. For instance, you now got Utah Senator Mike Lee. Maybe the guy that was sentenced to 4 years in jail, this Kevin Lyons, for his activities on January 6th. Maybe he wasn't a federal agent disguising as a Trump supporter. Maybe he wasn't. Because if you listen to the right wing, it's all, well, they're all federal agents. It's all staged. And one after another, well, we don't really have any evidence. And I love Maria Bartiromo because sometimes she trips over asking an actual question. And again, this comes back to, on that side, you don't ask the question unless it's scripted. She asked Michigan Republican Representative Lisa McClain, if anyone had actually seen any policy changes that Joe Biden made with regards to China for the payback that they claim he got. Because the argument is that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, the big guy, made millions of dollars, and Joe Biden changed policies specifically to get what Hunter was selling. And this McClain, said, no, short answer is no. Because there's nothing. But they can't tell you there's nothing because they need the outrage. They need the daily outrage. This is it. This is today's outrage. Hunter Biden won't testify behind closed doors. Find me one American who's going to go, no, I want him to testify behind closed doors. Find one outside of the right-wing outrage machine who got their marching orders today. This is me going, we're in a weird moment, folks. We are in a very strange time where it's not about truth. It's not about getting facts. It's about playing the game. It's about engaging in the outrage of the day and the things we should be outraged at. Well, we're not. Now, I've been saying for a while, we should be fighting for things that make our lives better. And we should stop fighting over things that are nonsense. This whole thing that the Republicans have dreamt up, because this is all payback for Trump's impeachments. Understand that. This is all payback. And if you think this is ridiculous, if Trump gets reelected, oh boy, you will see ridiculous on steroids. So look at this. Pay attention what the right-wing media is spinning. This idea that, you know, I could not believe my eyes and ears as I watched these people say, you know, well, we should have this. This should be, we shouldn't get to see this stuff. You know, it's best when it's behind closed doors because we can really get in and get to the meat and potatoes of things. We can really. So the question I have is, do you buy it? And can you look at them with a straight face? That's what I want to know. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Back after this. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I gotta tell you, the Pope. I like this Pope. I like him a lot. Now, granted, as a broken Catholic, I don't go anywhere near the Catholic Church anymore, but this Pope gives me hope. He's quoted saying that Christianity in America is just a money-making scheme. He's slamming, American Christians for basically turning their religion into a cash cow and an ideological circus. And it's what it's become. It really is. And look, this isn't new. You may remember back in August, the Pope said that conservative U.S. Catholics have replaced faith with ideology. It's what they believe is in the book, not what's actually there. So very, very interesting times. Let's quick go to the phones. I got Steve on line one from Chicago. Steve, what's on your mind, brother?
Well, a couple of things, and I do think it's interesting that this Pope would offer up that kind of commentary. And keep in mind that this is a time when in Europe and in America and many other parts of the developed world, religion is on the decline significantly. The number of people who are actually going to church differs from those who proclaim themselves as having a belief in a higher power, which obviously does nothing for the bottom line for churches.
Yep.
You know, okay, you believe in God, but if you're not showing up or giving, then, you know, that doesn't do us much good. And the reality is that the Catholic Church is particularly in trouble with regard to faith because, obviously, you know, very few people in terms of younger generations, if you're a man, you know, is willing to embrace the idea of, okay, well, I'm not going to be able to get married, I'm not going to be able to have children, and I want to become a priest. Well, people aren't willing to make that sacrifice. So now the Catholic Church actually sees itself taking in priests who were married before they became priests, and now they're ordained as having been married, and that's fine with the church, something that was unheard of just a few decades ago. You know, but the church is desperate. You know, they have congregations without priests, so you need to sort of bend. And I was raised, I'm a non-believer, but I was raised in the Eastern Christian faith, the Greek, Russian, Serbian Orthodox faith, and we were part of the same church until the what's called the Great Schism, in which East and West the church divided. But for us, we never prohibited priests from being married or having children. And the reason that the Catholic Church did was because, you know, it's not like today where everything's connected and you can know with a few keystrokes exactly how much money a church took in Outer Mongolia in a given week or month. So what the church basically said, you know what, we don't want priests getting married because when it comes time to pass on whatever property or legacy that exists within that church, they will give it to their children and their wives. So the Catholic Church, you know, created this nonsense that, oh, no, you're married to the church. And, you don't take a wife and you don't have children. It was about the bottom line the entire time, you know, because there are a lot of Christians who are still around who never adopted that philosophy. That was just something made up out of whole cloth. And a lot of Catholics believe that it's something that originated in the original Christian church. And no, that came along much later. So, That's point one. And two, and you're absolutely right with regard to this whole question of why the Republicans don't want to have public hearings. I mean, you know, you want public hearings when you have something that you can actually nail somebody on. You know, what they want is this just to continue to be something that they can beat to death, claiming that, well, you know, as soon as we get him up there, you know, we'll break him and everything will be exposed and revealed and so forth. They don't have anything. They know they don't have anything.
Yeah, but even at that,
so,
Steve.
Obviously.
But even at that, why not do that in public? Why this want behind closed doors? This has never been something they've ever wanted before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, they know they don't have anything, so it's going to happen behind closed doors. And, you know, like I said, I mean, what you want is a giant campaign commercial. If you can really nail somebody, then, yeah, you want the whole world to see it. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, they're all on the same page with regard to this because, for obvious reasons. You know, if you don't have anything, then you're going to look like an idiot. You know, some mainstream voters are going to look out there and say, wait a minute, you people have been promising us the beef for years on this, and this is what you came up with?
You got zip.
You know, so.
But look here, yeah, Steve. Here, Steve. I understand the politicians wanting this. I don't understand the outrage machine saying, we're okay with you hiding behind closed doors. These are people who need the daily outrage. And today's outrage was going, they refuse to do this behind closed doors. That's insane to me. That's the insane part.
Well, yeah, and let's keep in mind, I mean, depending upon who you're talking about, I mean, there's very little distinction between, you know, the sort of right wing in this country and some things like Fox and One American News and Newsmax and so forth. So, you know, they have to be on the same page. It's not as if, I would say, like, for instance, your show and others like it, you know, you're not some sort of paid mouthpiece for the Democratic Party. You don't take your marching orders from them. You would never do that. But for the Republican Party, it's increasingly the case that they're just, you know, you have to be in lockstep. You're part of the team. And if you're not interested in being part of the team, then you have no access. You're not going to get any interviews. You're not going to be part of the whole process. So you have to be, you know, in lockstep with the party and with the party line. So, yeah, I'm not at all surprised. I mean,
and with the moneyed interest.
There are people.
You know, let's not forget the moneyed interest. Now, let's not forget the people who pay their salaries. I think I confused him. Did I lose Steve? I think I lost Steve. Well, I appreciate the call, Steve. Thanks so much. Let's move on to Jack in Wisconsin online two. Jack, how are we doing today, buddy? Uh-oh. Did I lose Jack, too? Jack, you there? Uh-oh. That isn't good. I guess we lost Jack. No, and this is, again, one of these things where, you know, my mind goes to this place where you go, remember, these are the people who, you know, they want the news. And yet, you know, it's okay. Don't worry. They'll take care of it behind closed doors. Now, the Catholic thing. You know, I grew up Catholic. One of the reasons I call myself a broken Catholic is because I grew up in poverty. I grew up, there was no food in the house. The mice were going, hey, where's the food? And what would happen is on Monday, the church would call and say, hey, we got this envelope in the collection plate. There's no money in it. There's not a dime in the collection plate. And, you know, we would go, hey, you know, there's no money in the house. And they would call every Monday, knowing that we were in this situation, knowing that we were struggling. And this is what they would do. And it's part of the reason that, you know, look, I don't play into it. And that's part of the reason that we left. And it's because, you know, it's that greed factor. You know, and I refused to do it. Let's see who's on line one. I got Jack in Wisconsin on line one. Jack, how are we doing today?
Just peachy keen, except it's gone from summer to winter here in about 36 hours.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been good. I just had a kind of an observation. The Republicans not wanting to have people listen in on these hearings. I mean, we've seen this in Wisconsin again and again, where the Republicans hold a closed door so-called hearing, and they only invite certain people that are going to be speaking on a subject in a certain way. It's just part of their method of trying to engender you know, hate and fear and anger into their cultists. Latest thing in Wisconsin is they're trying to get a bill through our legislature where every library supported by public funds is required to report to the parents what library book specifically their child is taking out of the library if they're under 16 years of age. And again, this is just a matter of they're trying to they're trying to intimidate people from checking out certain kinds of books. They're trying to limit people's information. This is very typical. My question is this, though. When do you think, because it's got to be exhausting, constantly feeling this hate and this anger and this fear, it's just got to be exhausting to their cult and to the so-called right-leaning independents. When do you think it's going to be so exhausting they're just going to say, I give up. I'm not even going to bother. Not just, you know, I'm not going to vote for anybody that keeps on pushing this kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't see that stopping. Fear is an incredible motivator, and they're great at playing the fear card because the others are coming for your stuff, Jack. The others are coming for your children. The others, and you know that fear of the others is an incredible motivator. It's just scary stuff. But I appreciate the call, Jack. Thanks. Let's move along to Alice on line three. Alice, what's on your mind here?
Well, you got phone gremlins for one thing.
Okay.
Are you still? Hello.
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
What I wanted to say was, well, what I'm taking is, why do they want it behind closed doors? Couple of reasons. Number one, they don't want at the base to hear, I'm sure Hunter Biden's going to be in attack mode. And second of all, it's so much easier to twist things that are said when it's behind closed door. So much easier to twist it.
Absolutely.
And exactly. And finally, what I wanted to say was, the Pope is certainly not lying about American Christianity. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Alice. Let's quick go back to Steve real quick with about 15 seconds. Steve, what's on your mind, buddy?
Yes, just wanted to close with this. I do think one of the other big stories today, you know, Americans for Prosperity endorsing Nikki Haley. I do think it says a great deal about where the business interests lie in this country, and yep. It's not with Donald Trump. It's very hard to do business in a society mired in civil war, and that's not what a lot of the big business interests in this country want.
No, I'm right.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israel and Hamas release more hostages and prisoners as the U.S. sends humanitarian supplies to Gaza. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
On the ground, another 200 trucks got in through Rafah, and another 200 joined 200 that are in the queue. So now there's 400 trucks in the queue to get into Rafah, hopefully, in, again, coming hours and coming days.
At a packed memorial service for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, her son James spoke about when his father left the Navy and the move back to Plains. She was not happy.
The family story is that they rode in a car from Connecticut to Plains, Georgia. And when Mom had something to say to Dad, she would say, Jack, would you tell your father?
The House begins another effort to expel embattled Congressman George Santos after a scathing ethics probe. Congressman Santos says of the attempt.
If this building, if this city put the effort to fixing our country the same way that they put on expelling me, we'd be in a better place.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill that would automatically update parents on what their child has checked out from the library got a public hearing today. Under the Republican-authored bill, all books checked out in either a public library or school library would be sent to parents. Emily Dittmar is with the Wisconsin Educational Media and Technology Association and a school librarian in Muskego.
With school libraries so understaffed, dedicating so much time to administrative tasks takes the certified librarians away from student interactions.
Dittmar adds that students' checkout history is already available to parents by request. People in Wisconsin feeling generous this time of year are urged to be careful when donating to charity. It's Charity Fraud Awareness Week. Consumer protection officials say you should ask solicitors for their names, addresses, and phone numbers. You should also ask how much of your donation will be used to actually help people. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 16 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, highs around 38. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night, 27.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 14 degrees.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hightower saying, these attacks are silly because they are silly, and also because they're attacking the future. To work for yard sanity and choice, go to rewild.org.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So one of the things I'm very happy about is in the last election, at least in my backyard, the misery maniacs for moms, you know, the Moms for Liberty group locally, they got beaten. And I got to tell you, I was sweating it out because they had some crazy ideas and some crazy thoughts on what they wanted to do with my kids' local public schools. And look, all across Pennsylvania, the Yaz money, the billionaire money didn't go very far this time. But trust me, they're not going anywhere. And here to share some thoughts on the election cycle and maybe where things are heading, I've asked Randy Weingarten to come talk with us. Randy is the president of the American Federation of Teachers, AFT. Randy, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick. And I'm so glad that the election in your backyard went very much like the elections all throughout the country. So it was a good news day. This first Tuesday in November, or this election day in November.
No, but I look at this and, you know, this gives me some hope. I got to tell you, I was a little concerned, a little down, because all you keep hearing are these attacks, the right-wing media machine. All they were talking about is the most obscene, the most outrageous stuff to get people all lathered up and all angry so that they would go out and vote for these extreme people. And fortunately, the voters didn't allow it. So for me, it gives me a little bit of hope.
Well, I think what's happened is that there is a, you know, there is a group of extremists. They're mostly, when it comes to schools, they're mostly in the right wing. I wouldn't actually even call them conservative, because what they're dedicated to is ending public education as we know it. And Rufo, you and I have spoken about this. Rufo, who was one of their acolytes, you know, made sure that he told us, which was that in order to get to universal vouchers, which essentially means destruction of public education as, you know, an institution for all kids, you have to create universal public school distrust. And that's what these groups that these extremists like Yaz have funded, like, are trying to do. Yeah. And this time, you know, as I think what has happened is, as we get farther away from COVID, even though there's still lots of issues that resulted from COVID that schools have to deal with, that parents are dealing with, that kids are dealing with, that teachers are dealing with. But as we get farther away, what you're seeing is that parents want us to be dealing with loneliness and learning loss and absenteeism and dysregulation, you know, and the disconnectedness, and they don't want us dealing with book banning or censorship of coursework or anything that undermines the education and the opportunity that their kids should be getting. Yeah. And I think that you saw that in these elections, that even though the other side had a lot of money, Yaz, for example, put a lot of money into these extremist groups like Moms for Liberty and others, and people came out and voted for the pro public education candidates.
Now, again, as I said at the beginning, they're not going to stop. The money will not stop flowing because, as you've pointed out, the goal is eventually to destroy public education, privatize and profitize Education Incorporated. And everywhere you look, there are these attacks. And you brought up absenteeism. There was an article that I saw that, you know, did grab my attention that said, look, you know, American public schools are on their last legs. The portion of students attending a school with chronic absenteeism has doubled since pre-pandemic times. And they go through saying, you know, teachers are, you know, are looking around and nobody's in the classroom. They're painting this dire picture. Is that what you're seeing in the classroom? Is nobody showing up? Is it as bad as being painted?
No, of course not. But that's what sells papers. But what is happening is this. What COVID did do is it told a generation of kids, because of the mishandling of COVID in this country and the lack of prioritization of schooling in this country, schools were closed for an awful long time. Now, I want to actually say, as carefully as I can, that some of us from April 2020, and Rick, I was on your show a lot, you heard me say it, some of us understood that closing schools for in-person learning was a problem. And from April 2020, I tried to figure out how to reopen them with the caveat that they had to be reopened safely, that right. we had to deal with the pandemic. But,
see, but you don't hear that, you know, if I can stop you. You don't hear this when you listen to the F channel of the right wing. It's Randy Weingarten, yeah. shut down all the schools.
Right. And frankly, I wish I had 1/1000th of the power they attribute to me. I would assume that I would do a far better job. But, you know, I'm not in charge of any school system. And the school systems that I actually work with the most of them were open, you know, far, you know, pretty early on. Having said that, they, from April 2020, we understood that we needed to reopen schools for in-person learning and do it safely to make sure that teachers and kids and their families were as safe as humanly possible. But what I'm saying is that act, even in places that stayed closed for 3 months or 4 months, March, April, May, June, what happened is that kids lost the sense, and families lost the sense, that this was absolutely imperative to go to school in person. And I think that we are suffering from that. And I think that's why you're seeing so much absenteeism. The solution for that is the solution that we should have been doing for schools all the time, which is we need to make schooling important to kids. It needs to be fun. It needs to be engaging. It needs to be relevant. It needs to be practical. Kids need to say, get up in the morning and say, that's where I want to be. And frankly, in a period of time of, you know, of so much dissonance everywhere, we need to make sure that kids have a safe and welcoming environment and a well-rounded education. So the way to solve the issues of absenteeism is the way that we should be doing schooling anyway, which is making schools, public schools, places where parents want to send their kids, educators want to work, and kids are really engaged.
Yeah, but you know, I go back to when, you know, now look, it's been years since I've been in school. You didn't have a choice. There was a truant officer. There was someone who came to your house and drug you if they had to. So for me, this idea that there's an option, this to me is a struggle. I mean, because like my kids, they know that they don't have a choice. They got to get up every morning and they got to drag themselves to school, and they better learn something, because this is their one shot at an education. This is their one opportunity to use this time wisely and the best that they can. And I can't understand parents who don't push that kind of a mentality.
Well, I think, you know, I want to give a little bit of grace to parents in America right now. There's a lot of stuff, particularly in a climate of so much divisiveness and so much fear. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that's tough. But what I'm seeing more and more this year in particular is that school is center of community, and school is a place that parents and kids see as really important. 90% of kids in America still go to public schools. And, you know, so we're seeing an increase in homeschooling. We're seeing an increase in absenteeism. We need to understand what is going on and how to address issues. That's why I keep saying, let's address the loneliness. Let's address disconnection. Let's address issues like learning loss. Let's address issues like gun violence in schools. Let's address all of these kinds of things. And frankly, when we do this, you're going to see more and more kids going to public schools even though you're already seeing it, the attendance rates, or you're certainly seeing the enrollment rates tick up again.
Now, you guys have been running this campaign, Real Solutions for Kids in Communities. And a part of that is, as I understand, you know, making it the center of the community. You know, when I was a kid, look, you used to go on, you know, off hours and get to play in the gym and play basketball. In the summers, you know, when I was a kid, you it was a place where you got a hot lunch before Reagan destroyed that program. It was that place where you got services and help and all kinds of things. It was that glue that held, you know, even the poorest community like I grew up in. It's what held things together. Now, most schools, sadly, you know, they lock the doors and it's like an armed camp at this point. And it's not that kind of welcoming, open place that I want it to be.
Look, I think that there's lots of issues around, you know, the environment and what's happening in America right now. Every single issue ends up at the school doorstep. And what we're saying is, you know, instead of fighting about it, let's solve these problems, because schools are centers of community, and let's make sure we prepare kids for today and tomorrow. That's our obligation, and teachers should be supported in doing that. In doing that work, and that's really important.
Yeah.
And we need the resources and we need the support. But, you know, that's why we're focused on, in terms of this Real Solutions campaign, what are the major issues that are challenges? Literacy is a real challenge. That's why we are, you know, giving out books to help kids become confident readers. But we're also helping teachers understand the science of reading so that they can help kids with all issues and challenges around literacy. But that's also, to your point about food security, that's why lots of states are basically saying, stop with the lunch shaming and let's make sure we have vital breakfast and lunches for kids all the time without question. And frankly, what we're seeing the Republicans do in the Congress is, as they're cutting the, you know, issues, as they're cutting SNAP and nutrition issues, states are building it up. But that's what we're talking about community schools and wraparound services. Let's make sure it's there so we level the playing field for kids. I mean, you know, Rosalynn Carter, her funeral was today. Think about what she did in trying to help make sure that kids have a real opportunity and a chance for success. In addition to community schools and wraparound services and making sure we address mental health concerns and loneliness concerns and taking on the social media companies and their algorithm, the thing that I'm most excited about our campaign is this point about experiential learning and hands-on learning. Yep. In a period of time of AI and application and needing to apply knowledge and critically think and discern fact from fiction, we have to give kids the skills to do that. That's not about memorization. That's about application. So let's have more experiential learning. This is what private schools do all the time. Why are we not doing it in public schools? And let me tell you one thing. When we do this, like in career tech ed, kids come to school, they graduate on time, and they have lots of options in terms of college and career. So let's do more career tech ed. Let's do more advanced manufacturing. Let's make, you know, do more healthcare work in high schools. Let's make sure we really give kids the skills and knowledge and opportunity to, so they're prepared for life, for civics, for career, for college. And so as others smear and as others, you know, basically throw obstacle after obstacle at us, what the AFT is doing and what teachers do in classrooms every single day is try to make school a place that kids want to be and a place that's compelling and interesting and where we help create opportunity.
There you go. I got to get your thoughts on this Pioneer Institute, you know, push that they're making. And again, the Pioneer Institute, you know, one of these right-wing free market think tanks whose solution to everything is privatize and profitize. But they're out running around saying, asking the question, why are public schools quashing civics and history? Are you guys doing that? Are you deliberately saying we're not going to teach kids civics and history? Because according to them, you know, only fewer than half of the people can name the three branches of government. A quarter of the people can't name any branch of government. They've got some statistics that are fairly frightening. Are you the guys who are quashing civics and history?
You mean, Rick, you're saying that to a social studies teacher who loves teaching civics and history? Let me actually answer it this way. No Child Left Behind, by creating an accountability system that was fixated on test scores in math and in English, was the first, was when we started seeing civics being squeezed out of the curriculum. And if you have, as we've had with all of these fights around censorship and whether or not you can teach current events and all of this, you know, banning of books, what has happened is that teachers are chilled out of teaching about current events. You can't even teach about the elections. How do you teach civics if you can't actually teach about current events?
Yeah, and then this comes back to where we started, you know, though, with these these maniac moms for misery groups who are out there, you know, trying to armchair teach.
Exactly. So you can't. So when somebody says the kids don't know the, you know, the separation of powers, it's not about memorization of, you know, this is the presidency and this is the Congress and this is the Supreme Court. How are you going to know about the Supreme Court if you can't actually teach, you know, what happened in the Dobbs decision in high school, how, or what happens in any other decision? And so what's happened is that these groups are speaking out of both sides of their mouth. This civics is not about memorization. Civics is about application. And you have to teach kids how to think, which means that controversial topics sometimes, things that are conflictual, you have to teach. And they don't want us to do that. And that's, you know, so you can't say to a teacher, don't teach a divisive concept. Slavery is a divisive concept. Don't teach a divisive concept. And then complain later on that we're not teaching civics. Come on.
Yeah. Lastly, before I let you go, obviously, as you brought up earlier, today was the funeral of former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Any thoughts on her passing, on her life? Any thoughts?
Look, today was, obviously was not there, but in watching the pictures and in listening to the speeches, the fact that all those first ladies were there, everyone who's alive was there, was an amazing tribute to her, including, I was glad to see Melania Trump there. It was just an amazing tribute. And first ladies play a really important role in this country. And you see that with the role that Joe Biden is playing. They are helping heal the soul of the country. And Rosalynn Carter was a first lady extraordinaire. And she really worked to ensure deep humanism in this country. And I think I'm glad that she and President Carter have, over the last two decades or so, really gotten their due for the amazing patriots that they are.
Yeah. We need more Carters, most certainly. Randy, I appreciate you taking some time for us. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick. Take care.
Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers. I want to hear your thoughts. How are things in your school district? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1908. That was the day that an explosion at the coal mine in Mariana, in Washington County, Pennsylvania, claimed the lives of 154 miners. It was one of the deadliest disasters in U.S. mining history. The Mariana mine was on the Pittsburgh coal seam, one of the richest coal deposits in the country. The mine was operated by the Pittsburgh Buffalo Coal Company. It was considered by many to be a model operation. The company houses that surrounded the mine were made of yellow brick, had hot and cold running water, and electric lights. This set them apart from other mining homes of the day. By the early 1920s, 90% of all mining homes were wood-framed, and less than 20% had electricity. Yet even though Mariana was considered a model, disaster still struck. Mine inspector Harry Lewitt had been on site for 2 days leading up to the disaster. On Saturday morning, he had just left a mine shaft. According to newspaper reports, he found the mine in, quote, perfect condition. Then, shortly after 11 a.m., came a horrific explosion that left experts puzzled. It was believed that a vein of natural gas caused the deadly blast. Only one man, Fred Ellinger, was rescued from the mine. He gave a harrowing account of what happened to the Washington Observer. He said, quote, I was working at laying brick in one of the entries, and the first thing I knew, a terrible explosion took place, which threw me some distance. My two buddies were also tossed some distance away. I heard them for a while, then all was quiet. Ellinger was rescued, but 154 other men were not. Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So I'm looking at the this article by Jonathan Last over at the Bulwark. And this is one of those things that gets me about some reporters. And look, I don't know Jonathan Last very well, but he's got this piece, you know, about Chris Sununu. And it's titled Chris Sununu and the Good Republican's Noble Lie. And, you know, it's basically, you know, Sununu trying to play the role of the, as Last puts it, you know, the certified good Republican. And look, he had some things, you know, that weren't overly glowing about Trump and, you know, trying to play middle of the road, saying, hey, he's not going to be the nominee. That's not going to happen, you know. And look, you know, Trump was at 45% back then, and it's gotten worse. So now he's come out, and he is saying, well, you know, he's weighed the options. He's done his research, and now he's come up with I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. And here's the thing, and this is where my mind goes to this place, because Jonathan Last says there are only three explanations for this about face, for Sununu, you know, falling in the line, if you will. One, he's stupid. Two, underwent a genuine wholesale reevaluation, he grew to love Donald, or Sununu was lying about what he really thought. And you go, well, yeah, and he's right. Look, three is probably the most plausible. But I never bought any of that from the beginning. And this is where you go, they've told us who they are. Why do we keep falling for it? Why do we keep being Lucy'd? Lucy pulls the football away every time. There is no scenario where Charlie Brown gets to kick the ball. Doesn't happen. But here we are again in this moment where I guess it is what it is. And I guess, are we surprised by it? The answer, not so much. Got about a minute to go. We got Ronathan on line one from Cincinnati. Ronathan, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing,
sir? I'm good. What's on your mind, brother? Quick.
Well, just real quick, I wanted to say I'm a longtime viewer, and you're a real sexy man. I'd love to put my...
thank you, Ronathan. I always like a good compliment. that hasn't happened in a while. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm always willing to take a compliment when one is thrown my way. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at the Rick's.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.